Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I want to start today's teaching by reading from the book of Luke, chapter 12, from verse 16. Jesus was speaking here. He said, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?'" Conclusion, verse 21, it says, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Before we leave that, let's just quickly jump down to verse 32 of the same chapter. It said, "Do not be afraid, little flock," was speaking to the disciples. It said, "For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." He said, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys." What he was saying is that when you sell your possessions and give to charity, you will by that be making for yourselves money belts which do not wear out, which is an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Two stories here. One about a man who didn't have any treasure in heaven, because the Bible says, or Jesus was speaking, he was not rich toward God. He now said, there is a way of preventing his calamity from coming upon you, and that is by making yourselves money belts and unfailing treasure in heaven. Now, what I want to begin to talk about today is what I call treasure in heaven. Now, this is a very important thing for us to understand. Now, this program is called The Way of Success. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He said, "Narrow is the road that leads to life, but there are few that find it." In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, he was speaking there. He says, "Stand by the ways and seek. Ask for the good paths wherein the fathers walked, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls." What was he saying? That there is a way that leads to rest. That's what I'm emphasizing. And this way does not come to men naturally, but they have to learn it. He said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God." What I'm trying to say in all of these things I've said is this. We are talking about the way of success. Everybody desires success in life. People pursue it from different angles. They go through different ways. But Jesus has said categorically that the road that does not end is success. There are so many that when put together, it's very broad. Are you getting my point? But that the one that leads to life, the ones that lead to real success, very few people find it. And what we are doing in these teachings is to get the hearts of men into the right way, is to help people discover the right road that God wants them to travel upon. Because of that, we have been speaking about what we call building a great future today. That is, when you want to have a beautiful future, you have to do something today to get that future. Unfortunately, what many people do in trying to get that great future is the way of the foolish man that we have seen. It says that they begin to lay up treasure on the earth. They begin to build bigger banks. They get bigger bank accounts, invest greater amounts of money. They buy all kinds of insurance. The idea is that they want to have a great future. Are you getting my point? That the man is walking up to a point in which he will have had a large investment. That's what it's calling building bigger banks. He is walking up to a point where he will have had so much businesses set up that he will not be able to, like they say in a lot of the American books we read these days, he will not be able to retire early. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. What people are trying to do is to get a large storehouse on this earth that they can now say to their soul, "You have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Many years ago, when the American stock market crashed because of their internet stocks, I read the story of one young man who said he had planned to retire before he was 30. And I asked myself to start doing what with the rest of your life? All the investment he had, which at that point in time was worth millions and millions of US dollars, came crashing down in one day. And the man lamented that, does this mean I have to go back to work? Are you following what I'm going to say? That is, Jesus said, that attitude in life of trying to lay up so much that you will not need to worry is an ungodly attitude. And he said, it does one thing for you, it ends your life so rapidly that you will wonder who it is that will eat all the things that you have stored up. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, the popular things in life are not necessarily the right things. Are you following my point? But Jesus said, do you want a secure future? Do you want a tomorrow that will be secure, that will be immune to economic crashes, that will be immune, listen to me, to failures in the stock market, that will be immune to banks collapsing? He said, how do you do it? He said, lay up treasure in heaven. He said, the treasure in heaven is not affected by thieves. It is not affected by inflation. He said, what is inflation? Moth. That in current day's term is called inflation. Let me quickly explain it for those who might be interested in understanding what I'm saying. You want to know what the moth is? Moth eats the things that you have stored. Put money in a bank, leave it for 5 years, put it in an account. At the end of the 5 years, your money is worth less in material issues than when you started. It's called inflation. It's moth destroying. God said, do you want to have a life that inflation is not a threat? Then you must have treasure in heaven. So what I want to explain today, beginning from today, is that issue of how to lay up treasure in heaven. You will notice something here, verse 33. Jesus said, sell your possessions and give to charity and make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. I want to explain something from that. And it's so important we understand it. Men who have become great and indeed really great in life have been people who have understood how to lay up treasure in heaven. And what we mean by that is this. They have learned how to invest in the lives of other people. Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher, said that the fastest way to move forward is to help other people move forward. Remember, we said, you sow seeds for your great future. You sow seeds for your tomorrow. I want to explain that preparation for your tomorrow using these expressions of Jesus Christ. The best thing, the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life is to help somebody else. That's what I want to start with today. Most of us who want to do business, all we are trying to do is to get a business that can get us money. But I noticed something. Men who really became great in life, when they started their business, what they were trying to do was to affect the lives of people. One of my favorite examples, anytime I speak along these lines, is the woman Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. By the time she died, she was literally a billionaire. And she started her business after she had retired from working. That is, she was a middle-aged woman when she started. But she said something which is very interesting. When I read her book, Miracles Happen, she said that when she started the business, that profit-making was not actually her consideration. How did the business start? Because of her experiences, being a woman who single-handedly had to raise about 4 children because her husband left her very early, and she had to work, and she saw how she was discriminated against because she was a woman. And she was not given in her perception all the rewards that she deserved because of the labor she had put in. She began to write a book on how to do business. And then halfway through, she just thought to herself, why would anybody want to read a book by somebody who has never done business? Say, okay, let me try and put these things into practice. What was her aim? He said, God first, family second, career third. I want to enrich the lives of women. I want to give them opportunities that men had those days that they did not have. I want to be able to reward them handsomely for whatever it is that they do. I want to motivate somebody who is frustrated. I want to help the person know that life can be better. She started a business. Look, I won't bore you with the details, but many years down the line, by the time she was passing on away from this earth, she was a billionaire. And as the first time I read about her, she was affecting more than 2 million women who work for her company. That is, it's on record that she has made more millionaires from her company than any other company in the world. If I'm making a mistake there, then maybe she has made more women millionaires. That one is for sure. Are you following my point? That's what she counts, is how many people she has made become rich. Listen to me. That is what it means to get treasure in heaven. To look for how you can invest in the lives of people. Listen, I told us earlier, that's in our previous broadcast, that there are 2 seasons in life, basically. There is a season of seed time, and there is a season of harvest. The seed time is what Solomon said is the days of young manhood and the days of childhood. Whereas the times you expect reward from the hands of God is your times of harvest. What are you supposed to do in the times of your seed? Begin to sow seeds. Stop trying to lay up treasure. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, what I'm saying is very important. Because a lot, you see, young men, what we try to do, we try to commit the sin of the rich fool. We are trying to lay up enough to be comfortable. We want to be sure. And look, listen to me, it's a worldly system. This thing is very difficult to explain. A lot of people will think that you are saying don't make investments. That's not what I'm saying. But the worldly system, the system of the world, is to make you think only about yourself. If they want to go beyond you, it's about your children and your wife. All they think about is your dependence. I said something to us last week and the week before. I said you are a prophet of God, which means that when God wants to affect the earth, he puts a word in your mouth. In the same manner, when it comes to wealth, wealth is given to people so that the multitude can profit. So God said to Abraham, I will bless you so much you will be a blessing. Are you getting my point? Listen, wealth that does not increase the lives of many people is actually a crime. That's why you find that there are many people who have become rich and you cannot see what they really do for a living, how they have blessed somebody else's life. They never last in their prosperity. That is why God has ordained that the laws of the earth do not tolerate thieves, those who steal from other people. So a young man sits down and starts telling lies so that he can get somebody to defraud, so he can buy a big car. You are not blessing somebody, you are taking from somebody. Wealth is not generated like that. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18, Moses emphasized something, that it is God that gives the ability to create wealth. I need to explain that. If God sees you fit, he will give you the ability to create wealth. The woman I told you the story a few moments ago, when she became very rich, you know the interesting part? She did not make money primarily from herself, from that business. She made more money from other investments that she had. But what was God doing? God looked at the heart that was ready to bless. So he gave that heart the ability to create wealth. Let me tell you, during the days of seed, what you need to do every day is to work on yourself so that God will look at you and say, this is a man, this is a woman that's trying to bless other people. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, it does not have to mean that you are trying to make money when you are doing business. Listen, I said something earlier. Some of the greatest men on earth, if you see their motivation, they became very rich, but check out their motivation. I have done this a number of times. If I go somewhere to go and speak, I pick up a pen and ask a few people, I say, what is this? Many people will say, Bic. And I ask them, why do you call it Bic? The real name is not Bic. The real name is a pen. Some will say, Biro. I say, good. The man Biro invented the ballpoint pen. I said, why do we all call it Bic? I'll tell you. Bic was a man who said, why should pens be expensive? Let us make pens that people can use and throw away and not know they have lost anything. So he worked on himself until he was able to make the ballpoint pen cheap. Now, everybody can walk across to one small kiosk and buy a pen for 10 naira, very small amount of money. Why? Because one man had an idea that I want to bless my generation. Why should they be spending so much money on something that's supposed to be so trivial? Now, that quest in his heart allowed God to pour upon him the power to create wealth. Are you getting my point? So ideas began to come into his mind. I read his story, and to me, he's been one of the best examples when you're talking along these lines of Henry Ford. In his book that I read, I noticed something that everywhere the man went, what was in his mind was to make cars that were easily affordable so that everybody could buy one. The people he started business with, they quarreled at the end of the day. In fact, that was one reason why Henry Ford did not use to take loans from banks. He did not use to allow investors in his business. It wasn't because he didn't like them. It was because in the early days, investors, of course, naturally, they will have a say. But they couldn't understand his vision. They said more money is made from making big cars. That is only the rich that can buy cars. So make cars that will service the rich. Henry Ford said, that is true.
But I'm trying to make cars that will service the poor. I'm not trying to make money. More than once, he had to dissolve a business and pull out until finally he used all he had to start on his own. His aim was to make a car that was so cheap that everybody that worked for him could buy one. At the end of the day, he had made so many cars, he became one of the most influential men of his times and became one of the wealthiest men of such times. Are you getting my point? And I noticed something everywhere he went. Ideas used to come to his mind on how to make his cars better. Listen, wisdom is a gift of God. The ability to make inventions, the Bible says, is wisdom and it's the gift of God. Why did God give it to him? Because he had treasure in heaven. Let me tell you two things that treasure in heaven does for you. From what we have seen here, you see that God said the reason why this man died suddenly was because he was not rich toward God. That is, he didn't have treasure in heaven, he was saying. That tells you, therefore, that treasure in heaven preserves the life of the man that has treasure in heaven. That's why a lot of people who are very rich, they die suddenly. Why? They took money of oppression. They did not invest into other people's lives because the way by which you give to God is to give to other people. The way by which you lay up treasure in heaven. See what Jesus said here. He says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Give to a place where you expect no reward back. Listen to me. When you give, people say give and you expect something. The Bible says give, expecting nothing in return. I hope you're getting the point I'm going to make here. Listen, it is God that rewards you. It is not those that you give to. Are you following my point? You see, one problem that I see a lot is, of course, which is just common in life. People, every time they dream of a business, it is what they can get. And that is why most businesses don't succeed. But when a man starts a business because of what he can give into the lives of people, you will see he will endure much hardship trying to sustain a blessing. Are you getting my point? I mean, maybe somebody wants to open a clinic, he's a doctor. What he's thinking, clinics do very well in this part. There are rich people here. That's all he's thinking about. He has not even thought about the sick man that he's supposed to minister to. Are you following my point? But if you were to wake up thinking about the sick person, what you will be doing every day is trying to make life easy for the man that will come. Trying to bring the services to the place where he can reach it. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, the people who have made it most in life are those who wake up trying to bless somebody. What they are doing is laying up treasure in heaven. I said two things treasure in heaven does for you. One, prolongs your life. And number two, it gives you treasure on the earth. Are you following my point? It gives you treasure on the earth. Remember what we said the other day? It makes you a lucky person. Suddenly, you will be found all the time in the right places at the right times. That is, it is not because you tried. Listen, we are saying the way of success. The things I'm describing are not popular. I read a book once. The man was saying something about Henry Ford that I just spoke about. And he said what he doesn't understand about people is that Henry Ford, his principles have no patent on them. That is, there is no law against copying it. Yet, people don't copy it, and they keep failing. And Henry Ford kept on succeeding. You know why? Remember what I said last week? Evil hearts, they can't receive the word. They can't receive the truth. There is nobody who wakes up in life trying to be a blessing to this earth that will die poor or die early. That is what God is saying is there is something that will preserve your life and give you abundance of comfort. Remember what that rich fool said? He said, take your ease, my soul rest. You have much good laid up in stock. You have much savings. You have much investment. You have no problem anymore. God said, a life like that is useless on this earth. He's thinking only about himself. Remember, I'm talking about when you are in your seed time. We're talking about building a great future today. That's why I tell young people every time that stop going around looking for a job that is high paying just because you two have to buy a car like your friends. Go and ask your fathers and your uncles, people who are old today, take a census of them and the jobs they did when they were young. You will see that the richest one today is not necessarily the one that had the best job when he was young. Listen, why God blesses men, I keep on saying, most people don't understand. That's why we are bringing out these spiritual principles, because the way of success is spiritual. One day I went to preach in NYC camp, and I told them that they have posted it to Enugu State. Some people will be angry that they didn't post them to Port Harcourt or Abuja or Lagos. And they now deployed it to a village. So you feel like, aha, they really want to punish me here. Listen to me. God is just giving you the opportunity to be blessed. Listen, wealth, I say, is a gift of God. If God endows you with wealth, you will get it. Ideas will start coming to you. I was reading a book recently about the history of petroleum. And that brought something to my mind. I realized that a lot of people who started digging for oil those days went bankrupt. And the ones who really made money were just, in quotes, lucky. Then it came to my mind again that the race is not to the swift. That there is something beyond a man that directs his step to the left or to the right, which will either end him in poverty or in wealth. When Harrison Ford was interviewed about his success, he said, "No one can rightfully claim credit for anything in life." He said, "There is luck and there is grace." I said, "This man has understood." Because for him, before he became a film star, he had given up in acting. He had become a carpenter, making stages for those who were acting. Are you getting my point? And by that time, he was in his 40s, before anybody gave him a role to play. And the next many years, he had become a world-renowned, multi-millionaire film star. It wasn't because of his labor. That was why when they asked him, he said, "Nobody can rightfully take credit for anything." He said, "There is luck and there is grace." Are you following the point I'm making? So what I'm trying to say is this. I have noticed that wealth is not to the discerning, the Bible says. It is not to the man that is smart, that knows how to make investments, that become wise. Solomon said, viewed under the sun, it is time and chance that happens to men. What we are saying is that God is merciful. And he said, "I will be merciful upon them that show mercy." Are you getting my point? That is, those who I look at their hearts and say, "This man is ready to be a blessing. I will bless him." Because God's aim is always to spread this wealth beyond you. So when he finds a rich fool like this, God kills him. He said, "This guy is useless." I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? You wake up every day saying, "How can I impact lives?" Listen, I was saying something earlier. The man that I was talking about that was posted to Enugu State. What God is telling him, that I'm giving you an opportunity to be blessed. Because in life, God always requires an excuse or a reason to bless a man. And that is clear in the scriptures. Everything that comes upon somebody, God will give you the reason why it came upon him. He looked at Abraham after Abraham sacrificed Isaac. He said, "Because of this thing that you have done, therefore, in blessing, I will bless you. I will make your name great." Are you getting my point? When he asked Solomon, "Ask for whatever it is that you want, and I will give it to you." Solomon could have asked for anything. Solomon says, "Sir, my primary goal is to be able to make this nation great by administering justice and righteousness. What is pressing me on is that I want to be a good king. So, because these are your people, they are great people, I want to bless them." And God said, "Because of this request that you have made, therefore, I will give you more wealth than those who ever came before you or will come after you." He said, "The wisdom you ask for, I also give it to you." You know, we all spend all night praying. This year, my year of breakthrough. So we spend all night praying for ourselves. Listen, now when you ask God for something, he will do it for you. I'm not saying he won't. But there are things he does for you, even though you did not ask. Are you getting my point? I found out the fastest way forward in life is to be a man who blesses people. Look, listen, God has taught me this. My aim in life is to be a blessing. My movement in life is, where can I be a blessing? Most of us, when we want to move, we move to places where we get better pay. We move to places where we believe we'll be more comfortable. Listen, God requires an excuse to bless you. And ask yourself, are these things the reason God will look at and say, "Because you moved to a more comfortable place, therefore I will bless you"? So the young man that was posted to a bush, to one little village somewhere, should ask himself, "What can I do here that will make God happy?" And this is how to give. Let me tell you, those of us who want to learn how to give to God, this is one of the most powerful ways to give to God. Help the poor. Maybe the young man said, "Okay, in this village, I've known that a lot of your children here don't go to school. Therefore, I will starve myself a bit. And 20% of my allowance for this year will be used to pay the primary school fees of 10 children. You know the interesting thing? All of us are waiting for government to do this, do that. Meanwhile, God has given all of us a little ability to do something. For the amount of money people need to go to secondary schools, an average youth copper can pay for one person for 1 year. But we'll gather and sit down. Say, government is not encouraging these people going to school. Government has become God. Listen to me. We are all prophets of God. Government is not God. Any place you find yourself in life, let me tell you. Say, God, I want to lay up treasure in heaven. What should I do here to lay up treasure in heaven? You go to a village that guinea worm is finishing everybody. Why don't you teach them how to purify their water, even if you can't dig them a borehole? This is how men become honorable in life. Oh. This is how they become great. What makes a man great, listen to me, is not his striving for greatness. It is that in the days of seed, God looks and says, this man was laying up treasure in heaven. Every situation you find yourself, stop shouting like an average, unintelligent man. Complaining, grumbling. Ah, say, God, I am in a situation today. Like a friend of mine said, he said, ask yourself, what am I doing today that will make my tomorrow great? And I'm telling you the way of success. That the weapons of your warfare are only mighty through God. That it is when God judges your works and blesses them that your tomorrow becomes great. It is not when you try. I'm talking about treasure in heaven. So the young man I'm talking about that has been posted to a village, he should look and say, this year that I am here, how can I please God so much that he will credit my heavenly account? All of us can save money for television. We can save money for a car. How many of us can save that same amount of money? Say, let me award a child or two scholarship in secondary school, even if I can't take them to university. I was having a discussion with somebody once. He was criticizing one man for buying a jet. I said, what is your problem? He said, he doesn't need it. I said, how do you know what he does not need? He said, look, there are many poor people. I said, you. How many poor people have you helped? Tell me the name of one child you have paid his way through secondary school. At least you can afford that. Judas Iscariot. They won't give to the poor, but they criticize somebody else. Many of us are Judas Iscariots. We will never give to anybody, but we criticize the government. That the government has forgotten the poor. Let me challenge you today. What have you done for the poor? There is a motherless baby's home near you. How many days have you stopped there? And out of all the parties you are doing in your house, you say, let me carry food to this place and let them be a part of this party that I'm doing for my children. You haven't done it. You are waiting for government to adopt the children. Are you getting the point I know you make? Listen, laying off treasure in heaven is being a blessing to the lives of people. If you wake up and think of a business that will impact somebody's life, listen, that business, God will not allow it to collapse. All the businesses that collapse are not powered by God. That's why. The Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If your drive, your determination is to sow a seed into the lives of people, is to sow a seed into the life of your nation, is to sow a seed into your environment, listen to me, you will never be a poor man. And I know what I'm saying. And I'm very sure about it. That's God's order. You want to succeed tomorrow? He says, lay up treasure in heaven. You open bank accounts for your children when they are young. Teach those children how to give. I hope you are following the point I'm making. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? In every disadvantaged situation you are in, say, God, how do I please you here? So much that my account in heaven will increase. The Bible says it is acceptable according to what a man has and not according to what he does not have. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Let me conclude again by reviewing what I have said today. There is treasure in heaven that not only preserves your life, but gives you treasure on the earth. Before you think about laying up treasure on the earth, make sure you have begun to lay up treasure in heaven. And let your treasure on the earth be a manifestation of the treasure you have in heaven. What do I mean by manifestation? A time will come when indeed goodness and mercy will just be following you all the days of your life, and you will understand that you are dwelling in the presence of God forever and ever. You understand my point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.